Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 62 of Movie on Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again today is Heather Baxendale of the MILFcast. Welcome back, Heather.
Hello, thank you for bringing me back.
Well, come on now, why don't you just take a quick look outside the window and see if you see any snow on the ground.
I did this morning. There was ice.
Okay, all right.
I'm unpleasant.
Just be careful which direction you're going.
Yeah. I'm going the wrong way.
You're going the wrong way. Exactly. All right, so episode 62 begins with Neil coming to a realization and ends with a car making a careful U-turn. So yesterday we were on the highway with Dell and Neil, you know, on their way from St. Louis to Chicago, and they were going actually from Chicago to St. Louis, but on the wrong side of the road. And some Good Samaritans were trying to, Good Samaritan stunt people were trying to give them advice that they should turn around. And they misinterpreted it, or at least, yeah, both of them, especially Dell. Dell misinterpreted it at first. He thought they're telling him that they're not going to the right place, which in reality, they were correct, because he's going the direction of St. Louis. He's not going in the direction of Chicago. So if he's going, you know, to the wrong place, he is.
So they were accurate on both fronts.
That's right, because they're going the wrong direction and the wrong way. Very good, very good. So Neil looks down outside of the window and sees snow on the ground. Now, what do you think he's seeing? What's going through his mind that it's putting these two and two together for him to figure out that there's something wrong here?
That's the part that I was kind of wondering. What was he looking at? I was looking to see if maybe there was some kind of line or marker or something that he caught on to there, because there's snow on the ground.
Right. Okay. So I will answer.
What?
He's expecting there not to be a median between them. If they're both going, they're driving in the same direction.
This is true.
There's no median.
There you go. That's what he's
normally
looking at.
Normally, yeah. There should be.
There should be more pavement.
Yes.
If they're going in the same direction. Yes. Yes. Okay. So that's where it clicks in.
Yes.
All right.
So he puts two and two together.
And
figures it out that something is going on here. That's and so we have the man and his wife screaming once again, "You're going the wrong way!" And then the wife turns to the husband in the typical, you know, what we're typical to see, the wife, you know, tells the husband, tell him to turn around.
Well, if he would have used those words, they might not have been so confused. Since apparently they can
already hear.
Turn can hear so
right.
Well. Yeah.
They can already hear anything. So, right, they should have just said that. You're right. You should turn around. But then again, they would say he's crazy. Why is he telling me to turn around? You know. Dell would probably say that it's dangerous to turn around on the highway and go the wrong direction. Yeah.
You're probably right. There'd be justification for
yes.
it.
And then we see two trucks that we saw last week barreling towards them. And, I mean, first of all, there's great symmetry that they have here between these trucks. The way that they're – very rarely will you see on an open highway – two cars or two trucks or anything like that driving at the exact same speed, one next to the other. You know, it's not like they're talking through the windows. like Neil and these stunt people are doing, you know.
I have a friend who actually drives a semi, and he's told me stories where the only time that you'll see something like that happen is if there's, as they call them, a four-wheeler out there acting a fool and driving recklessly and fast, they'll block them in on purpose,
right,
so they can't.
Like in Smokey them. And the Bandit type
is,
of stuff. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So there are exceptions to the rule, obviously, but in the middle of the night, just moseying on down the freeway together, they're probably not going to be riding next to each
right.
other like that. Unless they're playing tic-tac-toe. That seems totally plausible. I would believe that.
Tic-tac-toe. What does that mean?
But it does create a very, very menacing picture as you're expecting their impending
yes.
doom.
Wait, but what does that mean by if you're playing tic-tac-toe?
Oh, I was just being silly. Playing tic-tac-toe?
Oh, no, I thought it was
yeah.
something.
Playing tic-tac-toe in like when the windows are all steamed up in the winter. I was just thinking.
Oh, okay, fine. No. I thought that maybe you were using some vernacular that semi-drivers use, that they play a game called tic-tac-toe,
No.
where, I was like, that would be really cool.
I'm not that clever. No, my brother and I used to do that with the windows when they'd fog up when we take trips. We'd play
Yeah, okay,
tic-tac-toe in the
that
windows.
we used to do. Yeah, my kids do that too. They still do it. Things have not changed. Not at all. So, first of all, as soon as Neil notices that these trucks are coming, Steve Martin has an amazing look on his face, because he looks like a cartoon character by the way that his eyes are almost about to pop out of his head. But he is in complete shock, and he starts motioning to Dell. And Dell goes, "What? What?" And he's able to get the words out. He goes, "Truck."
Which you barely hear because
Right,
he's
right.
frozen in terror.
That's correct. But you'd think that Dell would notice that there are these two trucks coming at them. He doesn't need Neil to tell him that.
You would think so, but Dell's again, situational awareness is something to be desired.
Yes. So now we mentioned the fact that there are these trucks, these are semis, and you mentioned that you have a friend who's a semi driver. So do you know the various types of, well, first of all, do you know what type of trucks these are? Any idea?
I wouldn't know for sure. I know one of the main trucks are Kenmore's, and then you've got Max.
Okay. Kenworth. Kenworth.
Kenworth. There you go. Thank you. See?
Okay. See, there you go. So the Internet Movie Car Database. I found it really funny when I looked up to try and find out what trucks are being used here, and there was a debate between different people as to which truck it is and stuff like that. So they're able to identify one of the trucks really well. It's a 1986 Freightliner LFC 120. Okay. And then someone said that the other one looks like it's a Kenworth, but I'm not really sure. And again, you can go through the whole debate if anyone wants to go there. It's not that long, but it's just funny. You have these car enthusiasts that are having a debate online
My husband would be
in
one
a
of those. He would be right there saying, it's this kind of truck and it's this one, and he would be correcting everyone, including me.
Yeah. Now, do you know how much it costs to buy a truck like this?
It has.
Like, what it
Okay. I have weird knowledge of this sometimes. It just depends on the condition that it's in, because those engines can run forever if they're maintained. But I've seen them on Craigslist before. And sometimes you can find them for 20, 30 grand. But again,
Right.
it's
But I'm talking about a new one. How much do you think a new
oh,
one
I have
costs?
no idea. A ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, it's over $100,000
Yeah.
to buy one. And the fuel itself can cost more than $70,000 a year.
Oh, right now I bet it does, 'cause that's diesel.
Yeah. No, and I'm even talking about this information is probably from a few years ago. So now it's probably even much higher than
Yeah.
that. But yeah, I mean, these trucks really, 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 guzzle diesel. Do you know any other names for this type of vehicle?
Not that I can think of.
So sometimes known as semis, semi-trailers, tractor-trailers, 18-wheelers, big rigs, semi-trucks, and semi-tractor-trailers.
Okay,
So,
yeah, I can see
and
that.
and they're mostly used to haul different things, right?
Now, when you were a kid and you saw them and you were on road trips, did you do the, yeah, do you still do that with your kids?
No, that I don't do. And we were pumping our fists for anybody who can't see us, which is everyone, since this is a audio podcast. Right? We were both pumping our fists. It's funny, as a kid you think it's fun to tell people to honk their horns. As an adult, that just gets annoying. Yeah.
Fun when they're little. They get a kick out of
Yes,
it.
that's true. Right. So, I mean, most of these, I did research, but I'm not going to go into the whole thing. I found the different types of cargo that they, and the different types of tractor trailers that they have. I mean, there's tons of them. It's unbelievable how many I found on this. But I'm not going to go through it.
Well, that's still how we move most of our goods.
Yes, that's correct. Because they have refrigerated trucks like that. And, you know, I remember my parents had a grocery store. So, you know, the trucks would come and, the driver would always take the stuff off the truck itself. But, you know, there was a lot of room for stuff there. Yeah, so, I mean, again, they have here all these different types, you know, sometimes where the door is on the right-hand side, and sometimes the door is on the left side, and sometimes the door's in the back. You know, you can get it from all the different directions. So I found that to be pretty cool. So basically, we have Neil and Dell, both of them completely terrified at this point. And Dell begins to scream as they pass between the trucks. Now, the edit here is unbelievable. Yep. The way that they edited this scene, because it jumps from between them and whatever. And like, first you have Neil's eyes are completely wide open as the whole thing. And then you see, like, the car entering the void between them. And then you have sparks flying everywhere. You see Neil scream. He closes his eyes, obviously expecting the worst at this point. And then eventually Dell starts screaming. And then they give us like a flash of light.
Yeah.
And then it's great. We get to see the skeletons. You know, first we see a skeleton of Neil, which they really made the dummy very well, because you see his white hair. Like, you know, this is supposed to be Steve Martin. And then you see the car scraping along again. And then you see a skeleton that looks like Dell, which again, he's wearing the parka. He's got a mustache. He's got, you know, the same type of reddish hair. And, I mean, the attention to detail is just unbelievable here.
I felt like it was kind of inspired by the Willy Wonka tunnel.
That's very possible.
I get that every time this part comes up. It's one of my favorite parts of the movie. And then, you know, it's around the same time, too. We had the poltergeist face melt and yes. Raiders of the Lost Ark one too. So there's a lot of this kind of imagery that's really inspired in this timeline too. And it is really brief, but you do notice it right away. And like you said, down to all the details. But even if you're watching it
normally,
movie from front to back, and you're not looking for it, you're not going to miss it either. It's right. It's pretty creepy. And funny exactly. At the same time. Creepy and funny at the same time.
Yes, completely. And then we see shots of Neil, who's obviously very scared. And then we see him look over towards Dell. And then Dell is dressed as the devil.
Laughing.
And, you know, he's got horns and a pitchfork. And he even has, like, a pointed beard. I mean, Dell just has a mustache. But in this particular thing, you get him with the pointed beard. And then you see another shot of Neil, who's in complete shock as to everything that's going on here. And then we get maniacal laughing from Dell as the devil.
Well, at that point too, don't you kind of feel like that is kind of how Neil actually in his mind sees him anyway? That this is all his fault, that he's there. He's the devil and he's done this to him. And now he's going to hell with him. that was my interpretation of the whole bit, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. You know, then we get a back and forth shot of the two of them, both completely scared as to what's going on. And then we get a shot of Dell's feet, both feet, as he slams on the brakes. Now, I don't do that very often. Do you slam on the brakes with both feet every so?
Nope.
I've always driven an automatic. I never know what to do with my left foot. You know, my left foot just sits on the side. I never use it.
I learned to drive on a manual, so... if I've gone long periods of time, I haven't driven one in several years, but if I've gone long periods of time without driving for whatever reason, like particularly during the pandemic, long periods of time, I occasionally would sit there and try and push the clutch in, mm-hmm. but I have never once in my life slammed on the brakes with both my feet.
Right. And this is the second time that Dell has done that. He did that last week also when the car spun around. So I guess he's used to doing that.
Which maybe some people do that. My father-in-law, he used to two-foot when he drove. So it's, you know, everybody does things differently. But I think your average person would not react that way.
Yeah, probably not. And then we see the car stopping short, and both Neil and Dell are pushed forward. Now, we already established last week that neither of them is wearing seatbelts. They theoretically should have both flown through those windows, that window. No question about it. You know,
Toast.
that would have even been more ironic that they didn't get killed by the trucks, but they got killed because they weren't wearing seatbelts afterwards. You know. And then we
The
see.
Allstate guy could use that for a commercial right
That's
now.
right. There you go.
Bam.
The car comes to a complete standstill. All right. And as that happens, we see the steamer trunk go flying. And this is the first time I noticed it, but the trunk of the car also goes flying. You see the green
Yes.
part of the trunk. I always
I
just
noticed that
assumed
too.
it was only the steamer trunk that went
Okay,
flying.
the scene before this too, when he was spinning around and the trunk didn't fly off, that drove me absolutely nuts. I'm like, that would not stay. That would not stay.
Because
That would not
it
stay.
was attached really, really well unless you stop short. You can spin around, you know.
The trunk came up too, which was really cool. I noticed that this time watching it.
And I mean, at this point, you see the two trucks just continue to drive on the highway. Now,
Because they would, right?
what? They're
Yeah,
not
they
going to
just keep
stop.
going. Why would they stop?
They just
They have work to do.
Seriously, no, nobody stops. They just keep going. And I mean, I love the way that both the trunk and the trunk, as they fall, they like spiral through the air. They're doing Cirque du Soleil, you know, acrobatics along the way, which is pretty fun to see. And they both bounce as they hit the ground also, you know, meaning that they came with a lot of velocity. And then we get a shot through the windshield of both Neil and Dell. Both of them are complete utter shock. Exactly. Just for everyone who's again not watching us but listening to us, Heather just put her hands on the dashboard, and we see them both. Well, we see Neil with his hands on the dashboard, and Dell's hands are on the steering wheel.
Which is broken and bent forward from the force of him pushing
That's
against
correct. That's just crazy how much he was able to bend the steering wheel that much by that. You know, I would ask how is he going to drive like that, but I don't think we really have to worry about that much.
was beautiful. That was a beautiful moment of comedy right there. I love that so much. And I love that Niels too is actually stuck almost in there. He can't quite get his
He
hands
like
out. He has
pulls his.
the nails burrowed in
Exactly. He
there so
pulls his fingers
tightly.
out of the dashboard itself, and we get like this plopping sound, you know, which reminds me from Steve Martin in Roxanne, where he does that plopping sound. There's a scene where he's talking about that aliens abducted him, and he starts making the same type of plopping sound. So I thought that was great. And then, you know, at that point, we see Del take his hands off the wheel. We see the wheel is completely bent out of shape. No question about that. And then we see a shot from the back of the car. See the brake lights flash, and then the car moves towards. It's very interesting the way that he turns his car around. He makes a left and makes a huge U-turn around, you know, across both sides of the highway. You know, he goes to the left and then starts to make a U-turn. And you know, you can see on the ground, you see the trunk, you can see the other trunk also, you can see the Dell's bags, you see his gym bag and the suitcase. It's all just sitting on the road there. So
I think at this point it's safe to say that Dell's driving abilities are both absolutely terrible and simultaneously quite adept.
yes. Well, he kept him alive.
Exactly.
You gotta give him credit for that.
The spin out alone should have toasted him. Just sent him in the wrong direction.
Which is just as good, I guess. So, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the differences in the script?
That was a great moment.
Right. So, the script also, not that many differences here. But first of all, it mentions that the trucks are 10 wheelers instead of 18 wheelers.
Team.
I don't know why they're called 10 wheelers. It's just very strange that John Hughes would say that in the script, you know, the
Specify it,
end
yeah.
wielder. So, and he in the script, the trucks actually swerve apart in order to try and avoid the car, but they still scrape through it. You know, maybe they were even closer,
Yeah, they didn't show
right?
that.
Maybe they were
Yeah.
even closer beforehand, and but they still scrape through. And it says here when they stop, so the force of the sudden stop sends the trunk hurtling forward. It rips the trunk lid off and sails over the top of the car. Yeah. And then it continues and says, out the windshield, we see the trunk crash down on the hood of the car and sail down the highway on the top of the trunk lid, sparks shooting out from beneath. The trunk and the trunk lid glide down the hill like a runaway toboggan. It's very
Doesn't
descriptive.
go down a hill. Yeah, it is. It's very descriptive.
Yeah. And then it says, inside of the car, the steering wheel is bent over. Dell's hands are gripping it. Neil's fingers are embedded in the padded dash. And then Dell turns to Neil and says, I think it's time for you to drive, Neil. Then Neil looks over and Dell says, I'm getting a little tired, and now my back's really starting to hurt. So then Neil looks at his watch and says, well, if it wasn't for Thanksgiving, I'd kill you.
See that
And then
movie.
Dell says, you don't mean that, do you? And he goes, yes, I do. Now, one of the things that we discussed in the script a few weeks ago was is that the car has this annoying computer voice that keeps telling him that the trunk lid is ajar. So at this point, it starts again and says, the trunk lid is ajar. Please secure it before proceeding. Now, there is no trunk lid. So.
So there's going to be no closing it.
Right.
It's like when you have groceries in your back seat and you have the alert coming on that says, there's a person in your back seat. Make sure you get it. Check your rear seat so you don't forget your kids, because that's
No, well,
important.
I get it that if you have groceries in the back, it starts beeping that the seatbelt's not secured, that someone's sitting there without a seatbelt.
Oh gosh, if it did that, I would smash it.
Yeah. So yeah, and then there's a whole little shtick right now with the computer voice where Neil bangs on their car in order to get it to stop talking, and it gets stuck, and it keeps saying the word please over and over and over. Again, I'm glad they took it out. You know, it doesn't really, you know, and then it.
It's not
No, it's not
necessary,
necessary.
yeah.
And this is the car pulls
It's
slowly
funny, but it's
around.
not
The car pulls slowly around to the side of the road, comes to a stop, pointing in the correct direction. And that's how the script ends that minute. So a few little differences here and there. Nothing, you know, nothing spectacular, but still good. All right. So every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a little tale or story of an adventure or misadventure that we might have had. So, Heather, you got another one for us?
I do, and this one is a driving one. There's a theme park in northern Ohio called Cedar Point.
Ooh, Cedar Point. I
Yes,
love
it's
Cedar Point.
America's roller coaster. Yeah.
I love Cedar Point. I probably told the story once before, but in 12th grade, our physics teacher, he took the entire class to Cedar Point, and we had, you know, homework that we had to do there about testing velocity and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. I wasn't testing velocity. I was just trying to get my adrenaline
No,
going
I
as quickly as possible,
yeah, for sure.
which my
Yeah,
mom and
I
I
understand.
enjoyed doing together, which now I'm starting to realize a lot of these getting lost stories involve my mom.
Why not?
So we'd spent the day down there, and we were actually doing a 2-day trip, which I think it was the first time we'd done that, and I was super excited. It's like a 2.5, 3-hour drive from where we live here. So we were doing 2 days. And we had gotten a hotel. I don't think we checked into our hotel, but they veered us off the regular way to exit, and we ended up down some kind of narrow road where there was water on each side and occasionally houses. There weren't a lot of cars going in our directions. And then too, we didn't have cell phones where you could just look and see where you were on GPS. We had maps that you had to pull out, but it was dark. And at that point, I was tired too. It was late. It was the first time I think I'd ever closed the park because we
Oh,
didn't have to drive 3 hours afterwards.
wow. Right.
So we'd never experienced that before. I don't know where on earth we ended up coming out, but it was a good half an hour out of our way. So we ended up taking an extra hour after we pulled over at a gas station and got in the light and Captain Ron pulled over some wires and asked directions. And I looked at the map and figured out where we were going to go back to the hotel. But it ended up, we were 5 minutes from the park and it ended up taking us an hour to get to the hotel anyway. But
oh, wow.
while we were off in the water on each side and had no idea where we were going, it was a little creepy. We were a bit scared there for a bit. Nothing bad happened.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool.
That was it. Not a super exciting one. I'm not well traveled either. So my destinations are going to be far more limited than maybe some of your prior guests.
No, that's fine. It doesn't matter. It's not, as they say, it's not the destination. It's the journey.
It's the journey.
Yeah.
By there that time, I should have known. You know, don't go somewhere with your mom. She doesn't know anything.
But if you had fun at Cedar Point, so that was worth it. You know?
We did. We had tons of fun. Yeah. We had fun.
I remember there used to be a place that was even closer to us called Bablo Island.
Did you ever go there? Was great. Yeah. We used to go there when I was a kid. I think.
Yeah, I remember you had to take like a boat to get there. It was
They had a fleet of them. They had the big one that you could take from the American side, or you could go over to Windsor and you could hop on their smaller boats and go. We went a couple times. It was fun.
Yeah, I remember going there as a kid a lot of
I guess it's an abandoned place now where it's kind of like a ghost town.
Don't know. I think even back in the 90s it was already closing.
Yeah. I think we went one of the last years, and I remember that they had the Simpsons characters there walking around. So it was probably early 90s, and I think it closed a couple years after that.
Okay, wow. Okay, see, we get to some really interesting stuff. So, Bablo Island Amusement Park is an abandoned amusement park, which operated from 1898 until it closed on September 30th, 1993.
I was close.
Wow. It's located on Boys Blank Island, Ontario, which lies just above the mouth of the Detroit River. And the people of Detroit used to call it as the city's Coney Island. Okay, I can sort of understand that.
Yeah, definitely. It was cool. It was an adventure to go there. The cool part was, I mean, it was a fun park, but the cool part was taking the boat there. And we took big boat. We took the big boat once. I think there was two of the big boats, and I actually think one of them burned down a couple of years ago. They were going to restore it, and it caught on fire.
What's funny is I always thought it was one word. I thought it was Bob Lowe, but it's Bob-Lowe.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So the island is 5 minutes. They have a 5 minute ferry ride from Amherstburg, Ontario, and it's an 18 mile ride from Detroit. Okay. Now they had the two boats known as the St. Clair and the Columbia, which each held 2,500 passengers each of them. Wow.
There was a dance floor and all sorts of stuff. It was cool. It was an adventure. It was neat when you were a little kid to go do that.
Yeah. And they would also have from Gibraltar, Michigan, there were ferries that would get that would go there also. Wow, this is bringing back a lot of memories.
It's cool.
That's really cool. So I remember the log flume. They had the Falling Star log flume, Enterprise, Sky Tower, Ferris wheel, a zoo, a carousel, the Screamer, which was a double corkscrew. The Nightmare, which was an indoor all-dark ride.
That was the first roller coaster my brother and I ever went on. And we got off of it. My brother was crying hysterically. And he did that on roller coasters for a couple more years. It was awesome.
Oh, wow. Okay. And they had the Sky Streak. And what else? They had there was a small railroad on the inside. Oh, wow. Henry Ford financed parts of it back in the heyday.
I wish I remembered more about the park itself. I mostly remembered the roller coaster. I think they had a tilt-a-whirl too, which those were always fun.
But they had scooter boats, which were similar to bumper cars.
I love bumper cars.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was neat.
And there was a Captain Bablo.
I don't remember Captain Bablo. I do remember Marge Simpson walking around and thinking it was awesome, though. And right, so I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons at that time either, so.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty cool. It was because Bart was disrespectful to his parents.
Don't have a cow, man. So it says this. Beginning in 1952, Joe Short, a man of diminutive physical stature, was employed as Captain Bablo and traveled on the boats entertaining passengers of all ages. He wore a variety of colorful clothing, including a large hat with Captain Bablo on the peak, and was typically equipped with binoculars for navigation purposes. He previously worked for Ringling Brothers and captivated children with adventurous tales and knock-knock jokes until he retired at the age of 90 in 1974. So I guess we never saw him.
No, nope.
I was born in 74, so no. Very cool. All right, well, after going down that stroll through memory lane, Heather, you feel like coming back in tomorrow?
I would love to.
Excellent. So why don't you tell people how they can get in touch with you?
You can find the MILFcast and check out some of our old shows on all those social mediums. We're everywhere. We're on Twitch and YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Funsies. You can follow me on Twitter at Heather_Kenobi, or you can check out all of my really lame fitness stuff on Instagram at Heather Time.
And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. You can find me very simply just by doing a search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, or go to our website. So, until tomorrow, you're fucked.
You're fucked.